Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, Speak for Yourself listeners? It's your boy, Shea Sharp, co-host of FS1's Undisputed. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shea Shea, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shea Shea, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shea Shea is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shea Shea now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now, back to Speak for Yourself.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, Marcellus Wiley with Emmanuel.
Okay.
Emmanuel Oxford.
I'm trying not to exhale too hard because the button might pop off.
It's about to go there? All that in and out you've been eating since you've been in L.A. Boy, better stop. All right, let's get to our top story. Speaking of food, you want some pizza tonight? Order today at PizzaHut.com. Do that, Acho. Let's head to Dallas, where the clock is ticking for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. Dallas has till March 9th to sign him to the franchise tag again. Star Telegram reports Cowboys executive Stephen Jones has had recent talks with Dak's agent, and both sides have the mindset that they need to get a long-term deal done. The report asks Dallas has no concerns about Dak's recovery from his ankle injury. So, Acho, big boy, who's to blame for Dak's contract dispute, Dak or the Cowboys?
Mansell, I think that Dak is misguided, at least. At the very least, my dog Dak Prescott is misguided. And I say that because I look at it from a macro perspective. Let's talk big picture. Dak Prescott, what else, Marcellus, does he have left to accomplish in order to earn a new deal that he hasn't already accomplished?
I'm listening.
Meaning,
Super Bowl?
Dak Prescott, prior to this year, that's the answer. I was going to get there, but let's get there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. But
the only thing Dak Prescott can do that he hasn't yet done for these Cowboys prior to getting a new contract is a Super Bowl. That's it. But Dak Prescott, if I'm you, you don't solely dictate if y'all get a Super Bowl or not.
Oh.
So why try to run a team risk based on an individual need? It doesn't make sense to me. When I look at it, so I'm like, okay, Dak, prior to this season, you were tied for second most in the NFL with wins since you entered into the league. Dak, you have a 60% winning percentage. Dak, you've won the division. You had a first-round bye. You went 13-3 your rookie year. You went to the playoffs again. You garnered a playoff win. You were healthy through all the seasons prior to this season. Dak, you can't accomplish anything else you haven't already accomplished outside of winning a Super Bowl. So now I'm like, Dak Prescott, you got to wait a game. And Sal, you tell me all the time, and I actually believe this in casinos, just not in life. Fair money.
Don't make no money.
No, if y'all don't hear nothing else, I'll show. Just know. Scared money don't make no money.
Yes, sir.
Only applicable in casinos. In real life, scared money makes you all the money. I'm like, Dak, here's what you have to weigh. Am I going to win a Super Bowl this season, or am I more likely to get hurt or have a down season? That is the only question Dak Prescott needs to be asking. Am I closer to winning a Super Bowl this year? Or am I closer to getting hurt or having a down year? If the answer is I am closer to getting hurt again or having a down year, then Dak, stop all the tomfoolery, stop all the shenanigans, and just go ahead and sign on the dotted line.
No, it's not his fault. It's on the Cowboys. This situation, this dispute is solely on the Cowboys' lap. Now, I'm going to attack your argument by starting where your argument attacked. The agent. Like, listen to this situation. You're like, you and your agent. Now, you know who his agent is, right? Todd France. You know he used to be with CAA, my agency, but now he went on his own. Oh, no, he didn't go on his own. He went a little more of an independent route, but he merged with someone. You know who his agent?
Who that?
David Mulugeta. Uh-oh, are you telling me Super Friends has been formed? Todd France with David? You know what that means? Cowboys, y'all in trouble. They're going to get that dope. I remind you guys, half the league is represented by Todd France, other half represented by David. That's not how the game goes. But I only bring that up because I want you to understand people out there. that there are a lot of conversations off record when you're talking about someone's contract situation. So you're talking to the Cowboys, you understand what that's like. Then you're sharing partnership with David, and I'm giving you a hypothetical. Please. But let me just go with this and opine on this. Then you talk to other teams because you have clients at other teams. And you're like, you know, and we're working on that Dak deal. Oh, man, that Dak deal looks like it's a tough one, a stubborn one. It's like, yeah. Well, you know, if anytime, you know, Dak's ever a free agent, there's a high interest from him, wink, wink, out here. So I'm going to give it to you real and bring it back to me and personalize it. When I was a free agent the first time, I got a lot of money from the San Diego Chargers. But I knew, unethically, illegally, before the signing period, that another team had offered me more money. All that did to my agent and to me is walk out there in free agency with my chest out, because I knew I had money in the bank. You're acting like Dak doesn't have money in the bank. Dak already knows if I hit free agency, it's a wrap. I'm getting paid. Now, only leverage you have, Jerry, is that I could wear the star. But I remind you, Jerry, I'm going to cost you $37 million this year, and we're cap strapped. So you don't want that on your lap. Oh, you don't think I'm a franchise quarterback? So I'm a rent-a-quarterback, a stopgap quarterback for 2 years, $68 million. Put me in the same position as Kirk Cousins, who's the highest paid quarterback the last 4 years. That doesn't make any sense, Jerry Jones. So let me tell you this. Dak doesn't need to do a damn thing to get the money he deserves. Highest paid in the league is who? Patrick Mahomes, got a Super Bowl. Who's second highest paid? Deshaun Watson, represented by David, who is partners with Todd France. And if you look at their comps, Deshaun's a better quarterback than Dak. But if you look at him in the postseason, Dak's a better quarterback than Deshaun, having the same record. Better completion percentage, better quarterback rating, better yards per attempt. Zeke let him down one of those games. The point of this is, it's all coming together like David and Todd France wanted. And guess who's going to benefit the most? Dak Prescott.
I like the take, Sarah. It's real. I can tell you spent a lot of time on the take. I like the take. But let me tell you what I would like more. If Dak Prescott understood, he's currently benefiting from perception. Because perception can often be greater than reality. What do I mean? Sal, Dak Prescott was on pace for 7,000 yards last year.
Yeah, he was going to kill
it. Dak Prescott was on pace for 40-plus touchdowns last year.
Okay.
See, perception is typically greater than reality. Let me take y'all back through sports, through history.
Mm.
Imagine if Michael Jordan wouldn't have retired. The Bulls might have won 9 straight. Let me take y'all back through history. Imagine if Jerry Krause wouldn't have broken up the organization.
Man,
who knows what would have happened? Imagine if Kobe and Shaq would have stayed together. Maybe they would have won.
You are the worst.
So, let's personalize it.
Oh.
You know, you go to the club. He or she goes
to the club.
Walk to the airport, and you see that one person that you was checking for. And the problem is, you didn't have enough gall to ask for their number.
At the club or at the airport?
Either.
Damn, you shook.
You don't have enough gall to ask for their number. So what happens, Sal? You leave that incident, and you're like, man.
You go on Instagram.
No. Before IG.
Okay.
You leave, and you're like, man, that was my wife. That was my wife. I just left slip away. That was my husband.
Sucker for love.
If only I would have continued that conversation. Mm. If only I would have just got the digits. I missed out on my significant other.
Man, if you
Why?
Don't stop. What?
Because perception, Sal, is greater than reality more often than not. Dak Prescott is currently benefiting from perception. Who knows if he was going to throw for 7,000 yards last year? I know he wasn't. Who knows if he was actually going to throw for 45, 50 touchdown passes?
Okay, here we go.
I know he probably wasn't.
Okay.
But he gets to live off that perception. Benefit from that, Dak. Mm. Strike while the iron is hot, Dak. Mm. Go ahead and live off of the hype that probably wasn't going to be real. But that's my fear, is he's not doing that.
Mm. You know what's real?
What's real?
That the Cowboys are not as good without Dak as they are with Dak. That's real. That's a real ring right there when you look at it in terms of what this could become if this marriage is actually going to come to fruition. You know what's also real? That CeeDee Lamb is sitting there like, ooh, I hope Dak comes back. You know what else is real? Amari Cooper's like, damn, I hope Dak comes back. You know what else is real? Ezekiel Elliott like, oh, I hope Dak comes back. You want to know why? Because those guys don't play the same. They don't get the same numbers. They don't ball out the same without Dak Prescott. That's not perception, brother. That is reality. Let's look at this team with Dak and without Dak. In terms of those guys, Ezekiel Elliott, 107 yards per game with Dak. Without Dak, 78. That's a difference in a lot of money going forward. What about CeeDee Lamb, 89 to 51? Amari Cooper, 84 to 64. Michael Gallup, I didn't even mention him, 69 to 45. Woo, stop. Are you kidding me? This is a completely different team. Averages 11 more points a game with Dak than without Dak. So let's look at this situation of what Dak really wants. Because Jerry Jones is messing up right now.
Okay.
Jerry Jones doesn't understand that. Make this add up, because Dak's price is adding up. It's going up. Jerry Jones was like, I want to give you 5 years, 35. The only beef was the length of the contract. 5 years versus Dak wanted four. From that moment, Dak has now had an issue with not only the terms, how long the contract is, but how much the contract is. Because the price just went up from 35 to 40. And for anybody out there scoffing at that, laughing at that, I remind you, Patrick Mahomes has a contract worth $45 million. Next is $39 million. And Deshaun Watson, Dak got that comp. Whatever you want to say about Dak, he's right there with Deshaun Watson. Oh, you don't think so? Okay, well, let's go to other guys who have been paid. Ben Roethlisberger, more than him. Look at the future. Jared Goff, stop playing, more than him. So the price just keeps going up, not only because of the market going up, but Dak actually has the second highest paid player as a comp. And he's represented in a pseudo way by that same agency, man. They sharing secrets over there. So when you look at it from Jerry Jones' perspective, he has added to his issues. He only beefed over term. Now he's beefing over term, he's beefing over money, and he's beefing over the fact that I've already given this guy $68 million for stopgap services when you got Andy Dalton there for stopgap services. So you paying too much for a stopgap, so why don't you make him your franchise quarterback? If you don't, he's going to leave and get that money.
We know the why.
Why?
The why is why? Jerry Jones clearly doesn't think Dak is worth what Dak thinks he is worth. Because you bring up a
he's
comp.
He's worth 68 for two?
Bassell, you bring up this comp of Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson on paper. But if I'm Jerry Jones, you've been in a game for 40 years, in the NFL game for 30-plus years now. Transcend the paper. You looking at Dak and you looking at Deshaun, I don't think anybody, any football analyst, any football announcer, any owner, any general manager would try to equate those two. Regardless
Nobody?
Of how you want to spin it, regardless of how you want to flip it,
let's go.
I think there's a unanimous consensus that Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Dak.
In a hypothetical. You know what? Because reality doesn't say that. Let's go here. Deshaun started off his career on a 9-7 playoff team, drafted to that. Dak was drafted to a 4-12 football team. I don't care how it happened.
But
and
it
I know
matters.
You're
gonna, no, it matters.
It doesn't. I'm gonna tell you
to
what.
Jerry.
I'm gonna tell you to Jerry. Jerry needs to look in reality. That's the problem. He's with you in fantasy land. Jerry, come over here with me. I already robbed you once. I know how to get you. Dak may get you too. Most wins in the season for your boy Deshaun, 11-10. What has Dak got? 13. So 29-27 is the win record, loss record for Deshaun. What's it for Dak? 42-27. You trying to tell me that Deshaun's not going to lose another game going forward to catch up to Dak? That ain't happening. How about the playoff record? The exact same, but in the playoffs, who's better? Dak Prescott. Quarterback rating, yards per attempt, completion percentage. Dak's never been snatched from a 24-0 lead in any game, let alone the playoffs. Do we really know if Deshaun has corrected his playoff issues? Kind of how everyone said Lamar Jackson has playoff issues. Well, we haven't seen Deshaun Watson back in the playoffs to see if he's recovered from a 51-7 point differential that happened after that 24-0 lead. Think about all those things if you're his agent. You walk into Jerry Jones and say, shoot, bro, you're going to miss.
Here's the issue, Sal, and you know this better than I do.
Come on.
The issue is very simple.
Come on.
Dak Prescott's going to walk into a meeting with his chest out. He going to think he's doing something.
As he should.
He's going to think he has this bulletproof argument, and he's going to say what you said. Deshaun Watson had a 9-win team, and what'd he do with that?
Take it to a 4-win team.
I walked into a 4-win team, Dak Prescott will say.
That's
and the next year I had 13 wins. The year before, the Cowboys were 12-4.
What does that mean?
The Texans have one 12-win season in the entire history of their franchise.
The Texans were in the playoffs the year before when they drafted Deshaun.
The Cowboys were 3-1 with Tony Romo.
Oh, 3-12.
Dak Prescott walked into a Super Bowl winning team. The narrative nobody is actually telling y'all America is, huh, because the Cowboys have won the Super Bowl without Dak Prescott in 2016. That's the real narrative that the world don't want
to
tell
you. That's another hypothetical. You told me not to do that.
Sure it is.
You told me not to do that.
The fact of the matter is, his Dak Prescott, his greatest achievement was an underachievement. Now, that's a bar.
What?
No,
it's poetic. It ain't real.
It is real.
13-3.
His greatest.
What did they do that before?
His greatest achievement was the 13-3 season. The same season with the first round pick at running back, a younger Dez Bryant, a Hall of Fame younger Jason Witten, a Tyron Smith that actually played 15 games, a Zach Martin plus a Travis Frederick. Was Dak's greatest achievement actually an underachievement? I don't know. You don't know, but you know who was there? Jerry Jones.
Oh, and
so I don't think Jerry is going to get bamboozled by looking
bamboozled?
At comps and looking at sheets of paper. I don't know if Jerry going to get bamboozled.
Hold on. We talking paper. We talking money. So you better stare at paper. If you staring into your mind and your perception or your fantasy, you're going to lose it. Big dog, who's first in wins, completion percentage, passing yards, passing touchdowns, passer rating in Cowboys history through five seasons? Dak. Okay, you said his greatest achievement was 13-3.
Yes, sir, and it was.
Wrong. That was their greatest achievement. And I told you before.
So what was his?
His healthy season 2019 setting passing records for the franchise. His, I'm telling you, dog, I've been on sorry teams and got paid. You know why? Because they took me and extracted me from the team. They said, we're not going to sign a team.
But you're not
we're going to sign you. You're the quarterback. He's first in every category. He has the second highest paid player as a comp. And more importantly, look at these other guys out there that are not doing what Dak Prescott does. And more importantly, look at your team with Dak. And look at your team without Dak. Give it to me.
All I have to say is this, then. This is how I'm going to end.
What?
If Dak Prescott, you're advising him to look at so many things, and what I would say is stop looking through the keyhole and open up the door, Dak Prescott. So I went to University of Texas. Sure, it was a great football program. Great football program. But more than that, Texas has its own network. So after I graduated from Texas, went on to the NFL and was done with the NFL, I could go back on TV because Texas has its own network. And so I've actually recouped more from Texas after graduating than I ever did while I was there. Dak Prescott, the last advice I will give you is you can get more from the Cowboys after you're done playing than you ever will while you were there if you just play your cards right and stay there. Again, Marcellus, you have Tony Romo making $17 million a year. He was a star for the Cowboys in the 2010s. You got Michael Irvin. He was a star for the Cowboys in the 90s, along with Romo, along with Emmitt Smith. You got Dion, all these dudes who are all stars who are having more success even now. Monetarily.
Oh, so you got to give a hometown discount? You got to kiss up to Jerry Jones?
Smart.
You got to tuck your tail in negotiations? I played for the Cowboys, and I sucked, and I'm still here doing just fine. Dak going to do better than me no matter how he plays this. Dak, say it with your chest. Give me my money. Coming up, LeBron is playing a lot of minutes but says he does not need time off. We'll tell you if he's making a mistake chasing the MVP award. That's next. Oh, hey, Speak for Yourself listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. So download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. The Lakers have lost three straight games, and a lot of talk has turned to LeBron James's minutes. The King has played in all 32 games this season, but after Monday's loss, he dismissed the notion that he needs time off. LeBron is currently the MVP frontrunner, according to Fox Bet Sportsbook, but he has not won the award since 2013. So, Marcellus, let's talk about the great race, even though we're talking about basketball.
The great race.
Is LeBron James making a mistake chasing the MVP?
Yes, and I'm assuming he's chasing the MVP because last year when he lost the MVP, he said, quote, it pissed me off. Okay, LeBron. Well, being pissed off about last year may make you piss away this year. Ooh, did I just say that? Yes, I did. Because LeBron James knows better than I that you can go faster alone, but further together. And right now, they're not together. Where's AD? Not there. Where's Schroeder? Not there. So, hey, if you want this to go on a fast decline, keep doing what you're doing right now, LeBron, which is giving them all the minutes. Right now, this is circumstantial. This is not about how good you are, LeBron, at the age of 36, how good the team is with or without AD. This is about the circumstances that always undermines a team's success called health and injury. So, based on the circumstances, I would advise LeBron James to swim with the current instead of swimming against the current. Because we know what happens if you swim against the current. You will be fatigued at minimum. And LeBron James right now looks fatigued at minimum. Let's look at LeBron James in his last five games. His field goal percentage. 58% in the first half. Okay, LeBron. Oh, man. Second half, 44%. Okay, LeBron. And overtime, 40%. You see the decline? You see how it's just going down, down, down? You don't want to know why? Because the boy is tired. As KCP said, and I quote, the last few games, we've been putting a lot on LeBron. You think? Because the defenses are now loaded on LeBron. The court has shrunk on LeBron. And he's still trying to plow through it, not respecting the circumstances. So unless someone can step up consistently, they're going to fatigue LeBron. Mm. And then when they need him most, he's still LeBron. He's still the great. He's still the king. But that switch may not click.
Yeah, so LeBron has to make a choice at this stage in his career, at least in this season. Finals, appearance and potential championship, or a regular season MVP. LeBron James, it does not appear that you can have both. Marcellus, yesterday during commercial break, remember what I told you? I said, hey, big dog, I'm craving In-N-Out. I wanted to go get me a double animal style. I wanted me some animal style fries, but unlike our producers who don't have self-control, so I had to make a choice.
What was it?
I said, I'm either going to choose happy or healthy. Yesterday, I had to make a choice. I'm either going to choose happy.
Yes.
Would have been a double animal style. I need it. But I chose healthy, Sal.
Do
because
you.
What I realized is I couldn't have both. LeBron James, you have to realize, hey, you can't have both because there's such a thing as residual fatigue. You might not feel it right now, but eventually it's going to catch up to you. The great Olympic sprinters, they always say, it's not about the sleep you get the night before.
Say it.
It's about the rest you get 2 days prior.
Thank you. Somebody else knows this. Thank
it's
you.
It's not about the
Preach.
Night before.
Preach.
It's what you get 2 days prior. And y'all see the residual effect up there, so I'm going to talk through what you're looking at. The Lakers are having the same effects that all the teams in the finals had last year. Because look at the Celtics. They were a 3 seed last year, but now they're currently sitting at a 6 in the East. But look at the Nuggets. They were 3 in the West, but now they're currently sitting at a 7. Look at the Heat. They were a 5 in the East, but now they're currently sitting at a 10th seed. So what we're seeing with LeBron and the Lakers, it actually isn't abnormal. We're seeing it from every team that went all the way into the finals and only had 2 to 3 months off. But LeBron, you have to make a choice. You're going to choose happy, you're going to choose healthy. You're going to choose a finals appearance or a regular season MVP.
Man, say that, boy. You had skinny for dinner last night,
yeah,
huh?
I did broccoli, chicken, rice.
I must really be losing some weight. I'm putting that pressure on you, boy. You trying to keep up? This boy ain't skipping in and out now? This ain't Whitlock, is it? Yeah, boy. All right, let me stop. Jack Del Rio told me that, too, one time. Had the whole team around us. He was like, what y'all do the night before the games? And everybody started talking. Oh, we resting. We curfew. You know what it is, coach. He said, and what about the night before? That one matters most. I love the fact that you brought that up. Because when you talk about residual tiredness, it becomes fatigue, exhaustion, where you just can't even recover from it the same. And it's hard to notice. But if you're LeBron James, you have to be who you are, a historian of the game. LeBron James knows this. Since 1982, no player has led the NBA in minutes per game for a calendar month after turning 35 years old. And LeBron James is doing that for the month of February. Come on, man. Like, what you? I understand you want to catch Jordan, but trying to catch Jordan, you might catch a hook. That hook going to come from Father Time. And he ain't playing. He doesn't miss once he swings. LeBron James right now ranks 4th in the NBA in minutes played this season. And you 36? This is not making a lot of sense. Look,
they want to do a lot of things, obviously repeat. But individually, LeBron James has some competing interests. He wants to win the MVP, it seems like, but also win that championship again. Then you start to look back in history, last 20 years, how many people have won an MVP and won a title? 4 guys out of 20. LeBron could be 5, I give you that. But LeBron, at this age, knowing that how much tread is really on your tires, are you really going to risk it? Are you really going to tax it? Are you really going to swim upstream when you don't even have the guy that helped you get this last championship? I remind people, LeBron was in Los Angeles a year before AD. How'd that turn out? Too much on LeBron's shoulders. He finally had an injury, came back from injury, no playoffs. They get AD, they're champions. Unless they get a break or the bubble, boy, he better chill out, find his coasting phase, just keep this team afloat, and then hit the gas when AD comes back.
And we got to make sure everybody realizes it's not just about the long-term effects about on LeBron's health, but what about in the interim? What about in the short term? Remember, LeBron, he was 10th in touches prior to January 27th, prior to the month of February. Since then, he's 3rd in touches. So it's not just about his minutes on the court, but what he's doing with the minutes on the court. I remind y'all, when the Lakers lost to the Wizards, they didn't have to go into overtime. LeBron James had a free throw that he could have made the end of the game.
Uh-oh.
And had he made the free throw, it's game over, more than likely in regulation. But what happened to the free throw? Marcellus, it was praying to touch the rim. It was just get me there.
Give me that.
Get me to the rim. Short. And that is a sign of fatigue. I'm going to end this lap by saying this. Sal, remember back when you were in college and y'all had to run gassers? Your coach would be like, hey, Marcellus, woo, whistle blows, woo, woo. And we got 15 gassers.
15? What we do? We in trouble.
You lost to Harvard.
Hey, I felt the joke in that. Keep going. Wait,
15 gassers. There was always one person, typically an underclassman, who would jog the first 12 or 13.
Yeah.
But the last two, he would come out sprinting. Say, he sandbagged the first 13, and them last two, he would sprint and kill everybody. Now, usually the veterans, the leaders of the team, they would run everyone hard.
That's right.
They would win most of them, run everyone hard. But the problem was, that person who was coasting during the first 13, he would blow by you in them last two. So my fear is, hey, LeBron.
Great point.
You running everyone hard in the regular season, but what about them cats that's coasting? What about the fact that Kawhi's only played 26 games to year 32? PG only played 23 games to year 32. LeBron, I applaud you for winning 1 through 13 in them gassers. But them cast is coasting. They usually come get you in them last two. I'm not convinced it's going to be Kawhi or PG. I'm just making sure y'all aware of what could happen.
And that's coming from a dude with some Lakers purple on right now. So you know he's trying to spree. He's trying to give them that love. That ball missed that rim, grabbing the rim.
Barely.
That was like my sister with her ponytail growing up. She's like, barely. She got there, though. I love her. LeBron, last 5 games, you stupid. 3-point, 15%. 3-point, plus minus, minus 6. Averaging 4.5 turnovers per game. LeBron, we can see it. Starting to add up to you, big dog. Slow down. Wait for AD. He's coming back. Coming up is Baker Mayfield the answer at quarterback for the Browns. We'll tell you if Cleveland should commit long-term this offseason. That's next on Speak for Yourself.
Hey, Speak for Yourself listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People's Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you. Now, back to Speak for Yourself.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
When I think of Black history, I think of a quote from Malcolm X. The quote is, "The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. He said it in 1962, but it would have been relevant in any year of our nation's history, most notably when you look at the lack of representation in public office. Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman elected to the United States Congress. That was in 1968. We have never had a black female governor of any state. We've only had two black female senators in the United States history. However, there is room for some belief that could be changing, as we saw one of those two senators recently resign her office because she had to raise her right hand, as young black girls like this one pictured, my daughter, across the country did the same as she was sworn in to the office of Vice President of the United States. Black women have always been the glue that has held this country together. Here's to hoping future generations of lawmakers reflect that fact.
Back to Speak for Yourself. Baker Mayfield's fifth-year option is expected to be picked up by the Browns, according to reports. But what about a long-term deal? Baker finished his third season with his fewest number of interceptions, and he also helped lead the Browns to their best record since 1994, when you were born, Acho. So, Acho, should the Browns commit long-term to Baker Mayfield this offseason?
Man, absolutely. The Browns need to open up their eyes and realize exactly what they have.
Open up your eyes and realize that you'll never see the P.
What's that?
Oh, my God, you are young.
Whose song is that?
Tupac. Okay. Oh, now you feel bad. Okay. Three movies you don't know and Tupac.
No, here's the thing, bro. Again, I grew up in a Nigerian household, okay? We weren't bumping Tupac. My mom and dad came from Nigeria in about the late 70s, early 80s. They were bumping Voice of the Cross. That's more true story. They were. Anyway.
I told listen to over there.
The Browns need to wake up and realize who and what they have in Baker. So, I'm going to just cut to the chase, save y'all all the shenanigans. I was drafted to Cleveland. I lived in Cleveland. I lived in Bray, Ohio, 76 Lou Groza Boulevard, the Browns facility. It is hard to win in Cleveland. I speak from experience knowing that. You have your experience of being a dominant pass rusher, a dominant player, very highly paid. No. That would not have.
That's why I'm here right now. That's why I'm sitting here.
I speak from experience. Yo, yeah. It's hard to win there. Yeah. Browns fans, let me tell you what Baker Mayfield has done. Mm. Baker's won 11 games. First time a quarterback has won 11 games for the Browns since 1986. Baker Mayfield took y'all to a playoff game since what? 2002. Baker Mayfield won a playoff game for y'all. Let me put in perspective what Baker Mayfield has done for the Browns. Marcellus, I refuse to believe that all these Browns quarterbacks have been sorry over the course of the years. I refuse to believe that Robert Griffin, who started some games for the Browns, is sorry. Why? Because I played against RG3 in college. I refuse to believe that Brandon Weeden, who was drafted in the first round, was sorry. Because why? I played against Brandon Weeden in college. Then I saw him in Cleveland the very next year. I refuse to believe that Colt McCoy, Tim Couch, all these dudes were sorry. So what is going on in Cleveland? It's hard to win in Cleveland. I understand that in Cleveland, you got to grade cats on the curve.
Oh, yeah. You do. You better.
Let me tell you why.
It's a fail class.
You chuckle, but I'm about to slap you with facts. I love what my dog Healy said one time. He said, it's all about wins above replacement.
That was big.
It's big to me.
That saved you one argument.
I needed it. Throw me a life raft. Wins above replacement.
That's big.
What are you doing versus a person you replaced in? Mm. Okay, so let's stay in division first. Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is doing his thing.
Yes.
30-7 is a starter. My goodness. Mm. But before Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco still brought him a Super Bowl. He was 10-5 in the playoffs. So Lamar Jackson above replacement is actually not as impressive as we think. Okay, bump that. Let's go to Dallas. Let's head down south. Dak Prescott prior to this season tied for the second most wins. But wait a second. Dak's win percentage is 60%. Tony Romo's was 61%. Dak is 1-2 in the playoffs. Romo was 2-4 in the playoffs. So above replacement, Dak Prescott, Marcellus, actually isn't that impressive. Wait, Lamar Jackson above replacement actually isn't that impressive. But Baker Mayfield above replacement or replacements, because no quarterback in Cleveland has started two consecutive seasons since the late 70s. Mm. Baker Mayfield above replacements
is actually more impressive than the latter two. Mm. So we have to put respect on his name, and the Browns should commit to Baker.
Man, they better not commit to Baker Mayfield, giving me these college comps. Did you play against Manziel in college? How'd that look?
I didn't.
Okay, because, boy, I don't give a damn what you did at the collegiate level. It matters at the NFL level, and it's a level playing field. You act like the atmosphere is different in Cleveland. Like
it
I,
is.
Boy, I played for four different teams, and if you got the ballers, you're going to put up numbers. I played for Jacksonville, historically probably a bad franchise, especially of late. Jacksonville was just in the AFC Championship game. You know why? Because they balled that year. All you got to do is ball, and Baker Mayfield is not a consistent baller.
Talk to me. Go somewhere.
Let's be real. Baker Mayfield, he needs more time to bake, like in the oven. All right, right now, let's open up the oven. Still a little too runny, as in running game. Number three running game, but number 24 pass the game. Nah, Baker Mayfield, not good enough. The only thing you consistent at being is inconsistent. This is why you shouldn't commit long-term to Baker Mayfield. Be prudent, as the article said, and give him another year to see if he can support a good year with another good year. Let's talk about other quarterbacks that recently received long-term extensions. The names are Carson Wentz, the names of Jared Goff, the names of a Deshaun Watson, guys who've gotten long-term extensions. Do you know that Baker Mayfield has a lower winning percentage, lower completion percentage, fewer passing yards per game, lower passer rating, and more interceptions than any of those quarterbacks? Okay, you're saying that's too high a bar because you like to grade on the curve. Let's go to your class. Fail class. Let's talk about the guys who didn't get long-term extensions. I don't know. Mitch Trubisky. Oh, damn it. Do you know that Baker Mayfield has a worse winning percentage than even Mitch Trubisky had in his first three seasons with the Bears? Yuck. Okay, let's talk about somebody else. Marcus Mariota. He's a starter, right? Nope. Oh, identical completion percentage and passer rating to Marcus Mariota in his first 3 years. Damn it. Give me another one, Marcellus. I shall. Jameis Winston. Ooh, he a starter, right? Well, maybe. Nah, I don't know. Fewer passing yards and only one fewer interception than Mr. Pick Six himself. Baker Mayfield has not earned it yet, bro. Damn. You got to support good with great. Damn. And until I can see it consistently, no long-term extension.
I can't let you do this. Here's what I can't let you do.
Check the oven.
The reason is I had this experience. Again, I told you, I went to the number one private school in Texas growing up, St. Mark's School of Texas, from 5th grade to 12th grade. All-boys school. We wore uniform with National Merit Scholars. True story. The kid in the grade above me won the National Spelling Bee, Saigon Turi. True story.
Really?
I'm in a school with a kid who's...
What was the word? You remember?
Poco Carante. Poco Carante.
What y'all watching over there?
I'm in a school with a kid who scored a perfect on the SAT and ACT, Jake Vanderbeer. So while I'm at St. Mark's, I was perceived to be below average intellectually. I was perceived to be below average educationally. Yeah. First year still, I had a 2.8.
So
second
far?
Year, 3.0, 3.2, 3.4. But then, all of a sudden, I go to the University of Texas. Not a U, it's just a University of Texas.
It's a state school. But you got smarter.
But it's a top 50 program now.
Yeah, and it's 50.
No, it's 48. Now, with that being said, Sal, if you just look at how I performed in this isolated atmosphere of St. Mark's, you'd be like, oh, Acho ain't no good. Acho an idiot.
Let me
meander over to another school in the Metroplex. Let me meander over to another school where it's easier to score high grades on. Acho might actually be a genius. The problem is, you're looking at Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, trying to compare him to other players and other franchises and other cities that are more winning organizations. Can you not look at Baker Mayfield and say, yo, you're doing something, Baker, we haven't seen done in 40 years? Let's reward that.
I mean, our clock says no more time because I got notes on notes on notes. I'm going to spare you this moment right now because you're feeling good about being 48th ranked. You're feeling good about playing these collegiate players. Boy, Acho will bring it from anywhere just to make an argument. But Baker, he ain't your agent. Good luck, brother. Coming up, Big Ben is coming to Pittsburgh. That's what they say. But we'll tell you if the Steelers are making a mistake. That's next on Speak for Yourself. I'm going to save these nuggets.
Sunday, the best season ever continues as the NASCAR Cup Series heads to Homestead Miami Speedway for the Dixie Vodka 400. See who will rise up and take the crown at this season's first mile and a half track. All the action starts Sunday at 3 Eastern on Fox and anywhere on the Fox Sports app.
Marcel, why your ears perk up in your mouth?
Did you say vodka?
Calm
anybody?
Down. Calm down, Marcellus. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Big Ben Roethlisberger's future in Pittsburgh was in question until today. Steelers President Art Rooney II said in a statement that he had a productive meeting with Big Ben yesterday and acknowledged they have to work on the contract, but said Ben is committed to coming back and added, quote, "We would like to have him help us win a championship." Mm. So, Marcellus, is Art and the Steelers making a mistake bringing back Big Ben?
Yep, they are. He just is not the future for this team. Now, it's interesting. You made a tremendous point. I got to start off my take with your point that you made yesterday in saying that the odds of someone coming in next year on that roster, especially playing better than Ben Roethlisberger, is slim to none, right? Well, with that said, I'm not the one to tell anyone to retire. I'm not going to say that to Big Ben. But if the Steelers don't say it to Big Ben, they're going to live to regret not saying it to Big Ben. I'll give you one example right now. Drew Brees, my former teammate, went to his wedding. That's my dog, but I do my job. Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints last 4 years have had the most regular season wins of any team in the NFL, but just 3-4 in the playoffs. Drew Brees, ages 38 to 41 in that time. Drew Brees, 13 touchdowns and 10 turnovers in the playoffs, 22 points per game in the playoffs. I remind y'all, that's what Alvin Kamara. I remind y'all, that's what a scoring defense that ranked top 15 all 4 years. I remind y'all, that's what Michael Thomas, not so much this year, but weapons. And what has come from it? Holding on just a little too long, potentially. I remind y'all that Eli Manning held on just a little too long. How did that go? One winning season in his last 7 years in the NFL. Now, he's not the same as those guys. It's different. You're right. There are young gunners out there now, if you want to talk about the AFC quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, all 25 or younger, and those were the final four quarterbacks left standing in the AFC playoffs. So if you look at this situation, I think the Steelers are stuck. They're in a pickle. They are not saying it with their chest. Listen to this empty statement that they put out there when they said, Ben Roethlisberger, we had a productive meeting. You know what? He assured us he's committed to coming back. And I told Ben, we'd like to help you come back and win a championship. Now, we got to work on this contract. I thought I heard stupid yesterday when I heard Carson Wentz calling up my boy Pittman Jr. and said, hey, can I get the number for the jersey? Nah. Oh, I was thinking about changing it anyway. Empty statement. This is an empty statement. You start with the contract. Ben, this is the number. If you can't meet that number based on what we think your value is in performance, then we don't need to talk anymore. They're going about it backwards because they don't want to say what they know they need to say. Ben, it's been amazing. It's been insanely great, but it's time to move on.
So I love that take, and my thoughts are very simple. I do think that the Steelers are in a bind in bringing back Big Ben. And I think of this idiom, I think of this phrase that I never truly understood, robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Uh-huh.
Right? I spent a lot of time reading biblical texts, and I never understood that. Like, they never really robbed each other. Then I realized, it was talking about taxes and the Roman church, et cetera. But a phrase I do understand, Sel, is robbing the future to pay the present.
Yes, sir.
And the Steelers, by bringing back Big Ben, are robbing the future to pay the present. Is Ben Roethlisberger going to be better for the Steelers organization next year than probably any other available quarterback? Yes. Regular season wins, probably more than a Dwayne Haskins, a Mason Rudolph, anybody else to acquire in free agency or late in the draft. But if you're thinking long term, Steelers, you're making a mistake. Think about it. Mike Tomlin, he's always found a way to win with his quarterbacks. You brought this up yesterday.
Yes.
I'll bring it up again in case y'all missed it. Mike Tomlin has had 7 quarterbacks start multiple games since he's been in Pittsburgh. All 7 are above at 500 or above. And then we even think, like, wait a second. The Steelers were in quarterback purgatory, if you will, after Terry Bradshaw, before Big Ben. But were they? Mm. Cordell Stewart had a 61% winning percentage, 61% even being greater than Dak Prescott's current win percentage. So put that in context if y'all need modern times. So the Steelers are just a good franchise, a competent franchise that finds a way to win. Bringing back Ben Roethlisberger, yes, putting a Band-Aid on something that requires surgery.
Yeah.
And the Steelers, they need more than a Band-Aid right now because the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals, all within that division, they moving full steam ahead.
Yeah, they are moving full steam ahead. Look at the Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers when it matters most, whether that's postseason or even last year at the end of the season. Went 1-4 their last five games. But Ben Roethlisberger, they haven't won a playoff game since 2016, dog, and have lost three straight playoff games. So remember I gave you the Drew Brees comp in terms of, you got all you need. They have weapons. One of three teams in the NFL that had three receivers with 800-plus yards last year. I know Ben was the one throwing on the ball. But Ben also had his worst season ever in yards per attempt and yards per completion. And his 4.6 air yards was the worst in the NFL. But Drew Brees, the other guy I'm giving them the comps to, wore that tag, wore that mantra. There's a saying that in any relationship, once you see the breakup, once you see it's over, they spend half the time breaking up. So if you think about it, if you were with somebody for a year, about six of those months was rocky enough till you finally pulled the Band-Aid off and said, enough. Now, I ain't talking about your cheating, but because that happens so fast and so acutely. The
first
girl said,
can I clarify this? Okay, America, I'm not a cheater.
No, he's not a cheater.
America,
that's right.
A faithful, young, yeah, adult man. Faithful. Go ahead. Proceed.
That is true from your perspective. So here's the thing. No, in all seriousness.
I hate you.
Like, half the time is breaking up. I swear the Pittsburgh Steelers are just, you know how it is. You're picking up your phone. You write it. Then you say, I shouldn't text her. And then you pick up the phone. I shouldn't call her. I'm going to go over there. Nah, man, you know what? Today I'm busy. You know, I need 10 hours to do all this. Pittsburgh, pull the Band-Aid off. Yeesh. I know how difficult it is to break up, especially when somebody's been that great. But the future's not
let's
bright.
Let's go there, big dog. Sell. You were engaged, what, four times? I hate counting your engagements.
Oh, really?
Right? I was like, don't count another man's money. Don't count another man's engagements. I'm breaking all these cardinal rules on the show. I apologize, America. But nonetheless, you've told the world, so I'll tell him again.
Yeah, yeah.
You were engaged like four some odd times.
Chill, dog. It's four. You ain't got to. Four-ish.
Four Jason times. And so the issue is, I feel like it's often harder to leave someone or something if it's unknown what you're going to.
Mm-hmm. That's
See,
real.
You'd rather just meander in that relationship with that significant other, yeah, as opposed to ending things to the unknown.
Yeah, that's real.
And that's where the Steelers are. Mm. It's like, okay, if we end things with Ben Roethlisberger, who we better go to? Dwayne Haskins, he ain't faithful. I mean, after losses,
hey,
he be with, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know.
Who else? Mason Rudolph? We're not sure if he faithful.
Watch the helmet swinging.
Right? Like, so if you're the Steelers, I understand the dichotomy they are in. On one hand, Big Ben will at least salvage us for now until we can find a replacement. But the problem, Steelers, just understand, y'all robbing the future to pay the present. Mm. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you.
Mm.
Coming up, Uncle Jimmy joins us with a very important question.
For me?
Oh, God, I can't wait for this one. Ask next. Unc, what you drinking in that cup, big dog?
Man, I knew what my future was, the club. I was going. Before we go, Uncle Jimmy joins us. So I hear you have something to say to Acho over here. Go get him, Acho.
Shit to do. My Saha, my Vato, my bruh, I need your help.
Talk to me, Unc.
I need you to make a phone call to some of your peoples that's in the higher up. Mm. I need to find out what the hell's the hold up on Uncle Jimmy's check. Acho, you been here for 8 months. Now you know firsthand Uncle Jimmy come out here every day and drop 47 seconds of the damage, but still no check. Now, I'm going to keep it real. I talked to Wiley about this in Vegas last year at this time.
I don't remember.
And all he said was, hey, I'm to this day. Hey, man, let me tell you something. I done came out here showing my tig old bitties. Oh. I done got on a Ferris wheel. I done got into the ocean. Hey, I need you to call some of your people in the higher up, Acho. You know, some of the people in the Holy Trinity. You know, like God, Jesus, and Oprah. Find out what the hell going on with my blue check and Twitter.
That ain't Oprah.
I need to
right
know
there,
what's
Oprah.
Happening. People say I got one of the biggest fanfares there is.
The She Believes Cup is next. Canada, Brazil, USA.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.